And this morning we're going to talk about the faith. And by this I speak of the body of doctrine that we hold dear to us. I want you to listen to Jude. And by the way, it's believed by many, and I fall into that camp. But it's believed by many that Jude was a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the flesh. And if this is true, while Christ was alive, Jude was not a believer. But oh, when Christ rose from the grave, he believed. And I realize that there are some things that you and I cannot compromise. One of them is what Jude tells us. And there are many things involved or centered around what Jude tells us. And we don't have time to cover everything. I tell you what, we're going to cover Jesus Christ because He is most precious. And I understand that there are a lot of places that I cannot preach. I realize that. And there's a lot of places that will never accept you into their membership. And just like there's a lot of places that I would never preach, there's a lot of places that you would never be members of as well. But listen to Jude as he wrote in verse 3, because there's only one chapter in the book of Jude. Beloved, and he's talking to you and me. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of a common salvation, and you and I have all been saved the same way. We have been saved because of faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on our behalf at Calvary. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And I have read where some interpret this that Jude is talking about as if it refers to the body of doctrine that is unique to us as believers. And by the way, it is very important to us to be around folk like you that believe the way we believe. And so there are those that would say that Jude is talking about the doctrine that you and I hold precious to us. And yet there are others who would say, oh, this speaks of the gospel message. I have always believed that it's speaking of all of God's Word. Yeah. And yet we must realize that everything is centered around the person and the work of Jesus Christ. But we are to earnestly contend for it. Now, we're not talking about interpretation. You may interpret things a little differently than the way I interpret some things. But all when it comes to doctrine. And that word doctrine simply means teaching. We are to contend for it. You see, we're talking about doctrine, I'm convinced. And I want us to listen to the Apostle John, the disciple that lay his head upon the bosom of our Lord. Can you imagine the intimacy, the closeness that old John must have felt? Yeah. Listen to 2 John in chapter 1 and verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And so I am convinced that the idea here is centered around what Jesus taught. And that which Jesus taught, we need to contend for it. And did not Jesus say, I speak only that which I have heard of him that hath sent me? He spoke only the words of the Father. That's all he ever spoke. And listen to the faith which we as believers must contend for. And there are a lot of things. But we're just going to focus on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Scripture speaks of the Christ incarnation. Now, I didn't say reincarnation. I said incarnation. And can you imagine that God Himself came into the world that was made by Him? I don't understand that. But I believe it because it's true. And that is one of the things that we must contend for, that Jesus Christ, who is God, became a man and He walked among men and He went to Calvary in our place. We must contend for that. We can never compromise that. You will never compromise that. I will never compromise that. And I am convinced that there's coming a time soon that one of us, someone here, is going to be locked up because of this very thing. Because of contending for the truth, for the doctrine that Jesus taught. Christ came into the world, and did not the Father that sent Him make Him a body? A body of sinless human flesh? I've heard people say, oh, He could have sinned, but He chose not to sin. Oh, no, no, no. He could not sin because He is God. And that same God came into the world. Little wonder why men say, no man spoke as this man spake. Why, He's God. And the law, He lived perfectly. That's just how He is. You see, we have a most wonderful Savior. That's just how He is. And He knew us, and He loved us before the world was made. Listen to God's Word concerning Jesus Christ, recorded in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And then Paul, as he wrote young Timothy, recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Oh, there's no doubt. Jesus Christ came in the world. And Webster defines it as the act of being clothed with flesh. God clothed in sinless human flesh. Oh, but listen. As you are well aware, the one that came into the world, the one that was reincarnated, is God Himself. And we have already touched on this, but I want to read Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Who is, and it's speaking about Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? Do you want to see God? Look at Jesus Christ. Did not Jesus say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father? Yeah. And notice the words, the image of the invisible God. And in the Greek, the old familiar word icon is used. And we all know what an icon is. Everybody does, pretty much. Oh, listen. He and the Father are one. If you've seen the one, then you have seen the other. Yeah. We all know what an icon is. We all do. And in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, we are told, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Yeah. The word, words, the express image of His person. A different word is used. A word that's translated image suggest character. In fact, the word is character in the Greek, from where we get the English word character. Jesus Christ, not only is He the image of the invisible God, He is the very character of God. Everything that's true of the Father is true of Jesus the Christ. It's true. And Romans in 1 verse 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power. And by the way, He has all power. And as I've often wondered, how in the world can you measure all power? You can't. He has all power. According to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And then in Luke, in chapter 8, verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before Him, and with a loud voice, what have I to do with Thee, Jesus, Thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech ye Thee, torment me not. And then in Matthew 27 and verse 54, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this is the Son of God. That's what we must contend for. Jesus Christ came into the world, the virgin birth. We can't compromise that great truth. We can't. The fact that He's God, we can't compromise that wonderful truth. No, Christ did not become the Son of God at the incarnation. He is the eternal Son of God. There was never a time that He is not the Son of God. He is always the Son of God. And we believe in the Trinity, do we not? I don't fully understand it, but I believe in the triune Godhead. One God, three persons. I don't understand. And indeed, the one that came into the world is God in sinless human flesh. This is a doctrine that you and I can never compromise. I will not compromise. And I am mindful at old Polycarp. And Polycarp, I understand, was a disciple of John, who was a disciple of Jesus. And Polycarp, I understand, was 86 years old. And they were going to burn him at the stake way back. I mean way back. And he said, "Don't tie me up." He says, "I'll stand here." And they burnt that man. And he stood there. And God gave him dying grace. And he stood there and he pointed upward with one finger. There's only one God. And that God is Jesus Christ. That's how He died. Yeah. He didn't compromise. You and I can never compromise. Listen to John in 16 and verse 28. "I came forth from the Father and am come in the world again. I leave the world and I go to the Father." He left the Father and He came into the world, and then He was on the threshold of leaving the world and going back to the Father from whence He had come. That's our Savior. That's who we put our trust in. That's who sinners must put their trust in if a sinner is ever going to be born again. Oh, listen, we cannot compromise that wonderful truth. But notice His life. And again, I call our attention to the Word of God. In the book of Acts, in chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I mean, after all, He is God. But listen to John 20 and verse 30. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book," John did write. But in verse 31, "But these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name." Jesus Christ is the only way a sinner will ever be saved. "No man cometh to the Father but by me, saith Jesus Christ." We cannot compromise that. I know we live in a world that believes many, many things. And they say, "Oh, we're all working for the same place. We're just going to get there a little bit different way." The problem is, they're working all right, but they're not going to get to where we're going. They're not. And that's something that we can never compromise. And our Lord, did He not declare that He only spoke what He heard of the Father? Yes. Yeah. That's all He spake. That's all He did. He saw what, or He did what He saw the Father doing. That's where He worked. You see, this characterized his life. It must characterize our life. It doesn't always, but it should. Mm-hmm. And did not the prophet declare what he would be? Mm-hmm. What he would do? I mean, some thousand years before Christ came into the world. And of course, the psalmist, he rolled back the curtains, as it were, and remember, the psalmist was moved by the Spirit of God. And he rolled back, as it were, the curtains of eternity. And he gave us a glimpse of what took place before the world was made. And Psalm 2 and verse 6, yet, and the Father is viewed here and speaking, yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. And the Father is speaking about Jesus the Christ. And as you know, the words, I have said, they are translated from a word that's used 25 times in the Old Testament. Poured out. I have said 25 times. Poured out 12 times. I have poured out my King. That's what the Father said. Because the Father knew exactly that His purpose and His will would be carried out to the fullest extent in the person and the finished work of Jesus Christ. We cannot and we will not compromise that wonderful truth. God anointed Jesus Christ to be the deliverer, to be the Savior of His people. No other name under heaven is given among to men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only name. And I understand that today that's not very popular. And I understand that there's going to be some of us, and I hope that day never comes. I really do. I saw on TV recently, and it was words spoken by an Armenian. And he said something that caught my ear, and what he was saying is, how can the Christians in America not suffer the way Christians all over the world are suffering? I'm convinced we're going to suffer. I hope I'm wrong. I hope we don't. But I'm afraid we are. And if and should that time ever come, we've got to be so careful. Because, as we've already heard, the flesh is weak. We can't compromise these truths. Oh, listen. We see that Matthew portrayed Jesus Christ as the King. Mark portrayed him as the faithful servant of Jehovah. Luke came and he portrayed Jesus Christ as man. God became a man. And old John, he portrayed him as God. The one who came into the world is nothing less than God. He is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And nothing was made that was not made by Him. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among him. And old John in his epistle said, we have heard him. We have seen him. We have touched him. our hands have handled him. Yeah. Oh, John knew. In fact, John had laid his head upon his bosom. And that is something. That's a teaching. That's a doctrine that we can never compromise. And we're living in a time where the world wants us to compromise. I was talking to someone recently, and I forgot who it was. I talk to a lot of folk, you know, and I hear so much, I don't remember much. But anyway, it was talking about the Scripture, talking about the Bible. And all we need to do is to, and I forgot just exactly what was said, but in essence, all we need to do is to interpret the Bible that would accept all these other things. We can't do that. We can't. Why? Because we are a people of the book of the Bible. And the Bible is truth. Thy word is truth. Is that not what our Lord said? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we believe truth. And did not Jesus Christ say, I am the way, the life, and the truth? Yeah. He's God. Oh, yes. But let's not forget His atonement. Yeah. Atonement? How in the world do you spell atonement? At one meant. Atonement. My sins have been atoned because of what Jesus Christ did on my behalf. And you know what? If you are a believer, your sins have been atoned for as well. Yeah. And the Father, now remember, God is creator. God makes the rules. We play by His rules. He doesn't play by your rules. He doesn't even play by my rules. Sometimes I wished He did, but He doesn't. But you know, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that when He saw Jesus Christ suffer, and you and I will never fully understand what that man suffered on Calvary's tree. Oh, we will never fully understand. Oh, I know that He died for my sins. I realize that He was made sin for me. I understand that. But I don't know what that man suffered in my behalf. I'll never know. I'll never understand. How can the creature fully ever understand the mind of the Creator? Never. And I'm convinced I will spend all of eternity learning more and more about Jesus and what He did for me. But God the Father, when He saw Jesus upon the cross, Isaiah the prophet, and Isaiah lived some 700 years before Christ came into the world. And the Bible, and Isaiah said, God saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied. Yeah. God saw the suffering. He saw the anguish. He saw what His Son went through. He saw the cup of the fullness of the wrath of God that Jesus drank by Himself. He saw. And He was satisfied. And He did that so that sinners like you and me who were born sinners. Yeah. No one took us aside and taught us how to sin. We picked up sin naturally. All of us did. Yeah. But Jesus Christ was made sin for us. And God, who hates sin, was satisfied.
Yeah.
No, we can't compromise the atonement that is alone in Jesus Christ. We can't compromise. Listen to the book of Matthew in chapter 20 and verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to give His life for a ransom for many. Oh, I'm so glad that many of those for whom He died are right here in this place. I know. He died for me. I know. Because His Spirit has confirmed to my spirit that I am a child of God. That happens. It does. And I thank God for it. Yeah. And I thank God that our hope is in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Yeah. We have a marvelous hope that is risen from the dead. Yeah. And I might well, as I said before, I might well die too. I don't know what's in the mind of God. I don't know what He has in store in the future. He doesn't ask me, what should I do? He just does it because He is God. And everything He does is right. And everything He does is for my own best. And everything He does is always for His own name's sake. Oh, to Him be the glory and the honor. That's the God that we serve. That's the God who went to Calvary for us. That's the God who is our Savior. That's the God that we must contend for. He's the God that we can never, never compromise. And in Romans in 3:24, being justified freely by His grace, God doing for me what I could have never done for myself. That's the that's my definition of grace. Oh, I understand I didn't earn it and I didn't deserve it. I understand all those things. But He did for me what I could never have done for myself. That's grace. Oh, I have a marvelous God. Yeah. You, if you're born again, you have a marvelous God. Oh, we can never compromise that. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary is my propitiation. Remember, God hates sin. He hates it. Don't ever let anyone try and tell you that God condones sin. He hates sin. I don't know how to say it any stronger. He hates it. He despises it. He loathes it. He hates it. But when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, Jesus Christ is the propitiation. In other words, the anger, the wrath of God was satisfied. It was turned back, as it were. Yeah. All this. I say, those of us who are born again, we have a wonderful Savior. And what He did at Calvary, we can never compromise that. And I know the world wants us to. Many who say that they're believers, they want us to. But we can't do that. Yeah. Our forefathers didn't compromise it. And a bunch of them were slaughtered. Yeah. Who knows the mind of God? Yeah. You and I may one day be slaughtered. But if that should ever be, God will give us the grace to face whatever comes our way. All you and I have to do is to trust Him. Oh, and the one that we trust is the one that has saved us. He's the one that knows everything. There's nothing our God doesn't know. He is the propitiation for our sins. And did not our Lord say in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Aren't you glad? If anyone had been cast out, it would have been me. Oh, I don't want you! No. Jesus said, no one, no man that comes to me believing in me will ever be cast out. No one. No one. Yeah, he included me. I'm so glad he included me. Yeah. Yeah. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Yeah. Do we fully understand? When we come to Him, we don't have to worry about, is He going to accept me? I like the word receive me. No. No one will be cast out. And I do not have to ever worry that our God will say one day, Brother Jerry, I've decided I don't like you. I've decided I'm going to get rid of you. No. No. He didn't cast me out in the beginning, nor will there ever be a time that He cast me out. That is our God. That's eternal security. Yeah. We are safe and sound in Him. Just as surely as Noah was safe and sound inside the ark, we as believers are safe and sound, as it were, inside Jesus. Yeah. We have been saved to the uttermost. Yeah. Beloved, we have a wonderful Savior. We really do. The Bible says there is none like unto Him. No, not even one. Yeah. And folks, we cannot compromise who He is. He's God. We can't compromise that. The virgin birth, we cannot compromise that. His life, we can't compromise that. His atonement, we cannot compromise that. You see, there's a whole lot of doctrine that He taught other than just this, but we're not going to have time to cover it. Beloved, we have a most wonderful Savior. I'm secure. I am. Those that believe are secure. You really are. Those that will believe only in Christ, will you find security. And you know, the world is looking for security right now. But the world rejects Jesus Christ. And He is the only one that can bring about security in the life of a sinner. We cannot compromise this. Would you please stand? Would you bow your heads?